back and Happy New Year. Can we just keep saying Happy New Year till when? I think Valentine's Day is the rule. Happy New Year, and that was fun running down the legal news story. So many interesting things happened other than COVID, I guess. But we'll recap next year. It was a lot of fun. My next topic is a topic about women as leaders. In November, we elected for the first time in American history a vice president who's female and a person of color. Kamala Harris, to me, represents intelligence and power. She's well-educated and compassionate, and I see her as a future leader in this position and maybe another position at some point. And here with me to talk about women in leadership positions, a topic that I'm fascinated by, is Victoria Pelletier, who's a corporate COO at the age of 24. She's held senior roles in Aon, American Express, IBM. She's a best-selling author of the book Unstoppable Stories, Change Makers Who Dare to Make a Difference, and she's also a speaker and a mother. Hi, Victoria. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Great to be here.
So let's talk a little bit about a topic that you wrote about, and that is this glass cliff. We've all heard about the glass ceiling, the idea that women get hired, but then they are limited in where they're going in an upward trajectory. And tell us about what the glass cliff is.
Well, the glass cliff is this notion that women often get brought in to fix problems or challenges, much like the one that we're living in today. And the reasons are because of the traits that many women leaders exhibit around communication, the way they engage, they're collaborative, etc.
So when women get brought in to these issues, these tragedies or crises or pandemics, if you will, it's almost like they're poised to fail. Is it an intentional act to bring women in during these difficult times? I'm not talking about election. I'm talking about in corporate America, where women are given these tough positions. Are they being set up to fail, or is it because there's a perception that women are better at handling them?
Well, I think there's a couple of dynamics with that, Karen. So there's the intent is to bring women in because there's data that shows that they perform significantly better in crises. The employee engagement is higher. They typically get better results. So they're brought in not with the intent to fail, but brought in because of the leadership traits that make them successful. But the fact is, and where we see this cliff element is, some of these challenges are just so insurmountable that no matter who is in front of it, they're not going to succeed in the time frame that they're looking for or with all the results, particularly that, you know, publicly traded companies and the board and their shareholders are looking for. And therefore, they fall off these cliffs once getting elevated to some of the highest levels in the organization.
You know, we're seeing this in our city, Victoria. We have an African-American mayor. She is from the LGBTQ community. She is coming into a time in the city that is just in a horrible situation. We have money problems. Then we have the police brutality and the lootings. And then we have COVID and all of these things. And I just listen to how people talk about how she's handling it. And it's interesting because things are being said about her that are not being said about some of the male politicians like our male governor. And I am very interested in how people perceive women in leadership roles differently. Are women viewed differently as leaders?
Well, I think sadly there's both conscious and unconscious biases that exist. And I can tell you from personal experience, I've worn monikers, labels in the workplace that were applauded by my male counterparts, right? So being told that, you know, I'm aggressive because I'm, you know, driven and direct and I lay out a very clear plan, you know, versus, you know, the way a man would be described.
Right.
You know, so aggressive versus assertive and those sorts of things. So sadly, you know, there's a lot of labeling that goes on and some of that's conscious. There's also just a huge element of unconscious bias that exists. And so actually what you're seeing is a lot of companies that are working to try and tackle that, not just for women, you know, for underrepresented minorities and others to look and educate around the unconscious biases that each of us have.
And you've written that there's studies that have found that outcomes related to COVID are systemically better in countries led by women, whether that's cause and effect or not. It's still a very significant factoid. Is there something about the way women lead? You mentioned consensus and being collaborative. And I think that in my world, Victoria, as a lawyer, I'm in litigation, meaning I fight with people about issues that go to court. And that I think that when I have a case against a woman attorney, I really have a better chance. I almost always think that of calling up the female attorney and saying, hey, what can we work out here before we start to fight and spend money and get these parties into a big fight and a disaster for them? Can we work out some things that you and I can talk about and compromise on? And I'm more likely, in my view, of doing this for 33 years, to get a woman to say, yes, I'd like to talk to you about that. Not to say that there's no men who are not that are collaborative, but is that a fair statement in your experience in the workplace?
Absolutely, Karen. 100%. I think, you'll find women generally much more comfortable, open to saying, hey, I don't know what I don't know. Tell me, let's talk about it. So that comes to how around active listening skills, around being nurturers, many of us being mothers as well. And so how do you bring those elements of how you solve for, those things with the children in a work environment? It's all of those things that make women, the traits, I don't want to stereotype, the traits that many women bear much more effective for the reasons that you've stated, right, around having that open dialogue, collaborating before we get to, the acrimony of, working through, in your case, litigious situations.
And, you also have mentioned sympathy and empathy. And, one of the things that I have learned, I get a lot of listeners who will email me with horrible problems that they have. And a lot of them are not solvable by the legal process. But the first thing I try to do is to say, wow, I really feel your pain. That sounds like a terrible situation. And I mean it. I try to put myself in their shoes. And when I say that at first, whenever I give them the bad news of, hey, you don't have a lawsuit, or there's really no good avenue or affordable avenue to rectify your problem, I think it makes them feel better that at least I heard them. I wasn't rejecting them and their problem and denying their hurt. And I think that women are better at that.
Yeah, you're right. Again, data supports the fact that women typically have significantly higher EQ, emotional intelligence, which is required in those types of situations. And I think you're absolutely right. Just by saying, I hear you, I understand the pain, the challenge that you're going through, and then talking through the fact that there may or may not be, whether it's a legal situation or the corporate world that I exist in, an outcome specifically that can tackle that.
The Me Too movement is still out there, and there was a big a lot of people falling down and being accused of these things. And there for a while, I heard a lot of men in the workplace, including workplaces I'm familiar with, say, hey, you know what? I don't want to mentor women anymore because I'm afraid of being alone with them. I don't want to go to lunch with them or go on a business trip because I don't want to be falsely accused. And that just really is offensive to me. But is that still going on in the workplace, do you think, Victoria, from what you see?
It's offensive to me too, Karen, absolutely. And sadly, I think there is still some concern around that, which is so disappointing because when we talk about diversity and inclusion, there's a need in the workplace, in our communities, there's a need to be really intentional around identifying the diverse population, whether it be women, whether it be Blacks, Hispanics, other underrepresented minorities. And that means we need to be consciously reaching out and mentoring and spending one-on-one time with individuals. That's number one. Number two is in recognizing and advocating for people. A lot of that happens outside of the corporate boardroom, right? And so sadly, I'll say I've spent a significant amount of my career traveling and at lunches and at drinks and at cocktail receptions. And now there is still a hesitancy. I'm seeing that way more than I ever saw that in the past, which is incredibly disappointing because now more than ever to move the needle, we need that kind of support.
And I'm going to just a really quick last question. Work-life balance. We see women who are working remotely. They've got a lot of the obligations when it comes to children. Still, women are taking on that main responsibility. Not to say men are not. But what advice do you give to women who are trying to juggle that? They're taking care of their kids at home, making sure they're online learning, and struggling to do their Zoom conferences at work. What advice do you have, Victoria?
The one I'd say was to create some boundaries. And so that means learning to say no to the things that bring you no personal or professional, or and by personal, family, joy, or benefit. Sometimes it's not possible to say no, but you have the opportunity to delegate or to outsource it. You need to get really good at that and be okay not feeling guilty when you say no.
Victoria Peltier, thank you for joining us. Victoria is the author of Unstoppable Stories of Change Makers Who Dare to Make a Difference. Where can people contact you, Victoria?
They can find me on my website, which is victoria-peltier, P-E-L-L-E-T-I-E-R.com.
Happy New Year to you, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Karen. Take care.